Well, we've been blessed by our music this morning again. Thank you so much to all of you who blessed us with our worship time of music this morning. It's been a sweet, sweet time. And we're now ready for the Word. Let me invite your attention to a couple of passages. We're going to be talking together this morning about something that everybody here either has dealt with, is dealing with, or will one day deal with. Our background from the sermon series of the last few weeks has been victory in the valleys of life. And it's taken from the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And though it's not listed yet, it's listed on your worship guide. Just two verses, chapter 17, verse 2 and 3. King Saul, and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. There probably are a few stories in the Bible more familiar with most of us, even that are casual to churchgoer, than the story of David and Goliath. It's an incredible, amazing story, a true story. The truth is, God has got some wonderful truths from that event that he would have us understand this morning. And I hope that God speaks to our heart, and I know that he will. Victory in the valley of temptation. A long, long time ago, I remember a comedian on TV by the name of Flip Wilson. Yeah. Remember Flip Wilson?
Yeah,
he always got caught doing something he shouldn't do. He said, "The devil made me do it." Well, the truth is, the devil, he might have had something, obviously had something to do with it, but Flip shared the responsibility, as do all of us, to how do we deal with temptation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, and then we'll look together at James chapter 1, I'll give you time to find it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. "There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. But will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." I like how James puts it in James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Skin verse 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, or stop being deceived, my beloved brethren." In the next few minutes, I'm going to ask us to, as earnestly as we know how, ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Because the truth is, this is one of the most relevant issues all of us as believers have to deal with. The devil knows who you are, where you are, what you're doing, what's going on in your life. And he won't miss many opportunities to pass up the opportunity to cause us to stumble along life's way. And temptation is one of those tools that Satan uses to get our attention and get us off track. It'll be different for everything and different for everybody. For example, the devil has never tempted, but the Lord doesn't tempt anybody. But the devil has never tempted me to do anything except move my chair back from a mess of turnip greens. I say that without any reservation. My mother said, "Son, just try them. You'll love them." I said, "Mama, I can't. I just can't." The truth is, the devil has never led me to do it. And the Lord never did either. The truth is, we all have times in our lives when we deal with temptation. Sometimes we deal with it well, sometimes we don't. And the truth is, we can save ourselves a lot of heartache, a lot of misery, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. We're just listening to what the Word of God says about living in victory in the valley of temptation, that giant of temptation. James has a lot to say about temptation. I want us to think about eight or nine principles about what it means to understanding temptation, so we're all on the same page and talk about what the Lord's talking about. What does it mean to understand temptation? What are we to know about temptation? Well, your study guide reveals several things. Let's look at them together for just a moment. temptation, whatever your age, whatever your status in life, however long you've been saved, temptation is attractive / appealing. James says, be careful that you're not, be careful when you're enticed, drawn into temptation. The truth is, the devil's going to find out what appeals to you, what appeals to me, and he's going to come and tempt you with that thing which he wants to get a hold of you with. Temptation is attractive and appealing. There are a few of us who probably have ever had the opportunity, more as much as David, to walk with the Lord. The truth is, the devil roameth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And be careful, because he'll use temptation to get you in that snare. Don't think that you're immune, because the devil will tempt you with that which seems a it's a dead snake. The truth is, the devil's a liar, and his temptation is deceitful and deadly. He'll never give you the true picture. The devil will not. He'll always camouflage temptation, flavor it with something that you like, or he thinks you will. Temptation is attractive and appealing. It's deceitful and deadly. Temptation, thirdly, is universal. In James chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "But every man is enticed, is drawn away of his own volition, of his own will." Nobody here, no matter how spiritual you are, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter how mature you are in the Lord, we all have to deal with temptation. Universal. You won't ever be so spiritual that you won't have to deal with temptation. So always guard your heart. We're going to get to how you deal with temptation in just a moment. Temptation is attractive and appealing, deceitful and deadly. Universal. Don't think the devil's not got you on his list. You're on somebody's list. The devil's got your name written down. Temptation is not only universal, it is inevitable. James says, when he is tried, James chapter 1, verse 12, when he is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust. The truth is, we can't avoid it. We can't manage how we respond to it, and temptation will come, because the devil is, like I said, the father of lies. And he's the great roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Temptation is attractive and appealing. It's deceitful and deadly. It's universal. It's inevitable. And it's personal. Temptation is personally designed to appeal to you. When a man is drawn away of his own lust, or a woman, they're in trouble because they're believing, they're following up a lie of the evil one. Temptation is personal. It'd be a great thing if after we were saved, and on our journey, especially after we've been saved for a number of years, the devil would get tired of messing with us and trying to trip us up and get us to stumble. The truth is, he never stops laying his sordid traps for us. Temptation is personal, and it is tailored to your unique personality and your unique desires and your unique likes and dislikes. The devil's aware of that. I like F. God allows but does not send temptation. Don't blame the Lord for your temptation. Temptations are allowed by God, but God does not send temptation. James chapter 1, verse 13, God does not tempt any man. The Lord doesn't want you to stumble. He wants you to stand. He doesn't want you to fall. He wants you to walk uprightly and be faithful. So understanding temptation is attractive and appealing, deceitful and deadly. It's universal and inevitable and personal. God allows it, but does not send temptation. I like this one in G. God limits temptation. God will never allow you to be tempted above what you are able to stand. Now listen carefully. God will not allow even the evil one, the devil, to throw anything in your pathway, but that the grace of God is not sufficient to get you through it.
Amen.
Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on all thy understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Walk with the Lord. Temptation is allowed by God, but limited by God. And when you get to that point where the devil wants to go beyond that point, the Lord says enough. You've gone too far. God limits temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able to withstand. We are ultimately responsible for how we respond to the devil's tactics. Our temptations are not unique. I like this. Well, sometimes we think nobody in the world has ever faced the same temptations that we face. If we were to invite King David here to the pulpit this morning, King David, tell us about your journey in life. And one of the things he might say is, I thought because of my love for the Lord, I was immune and above the tempter's snares. The old evil one knew my desires and saw and deceived me and dangled the forbidden fruit in front of my eyes that day when he saw the Sheba bathing on the rooftop. Temptations are not unique. God limits temptations. And God will always deliver us as we seek and trust the Lord to get us through. He's not the author of confusion. He's the God of deliverance. Well, what does it mean to understand temptation? Our temptations are not unique. Sometimes I think, Lord, nobody in the whole world has ever faced what I'm facing. Well, the truth is, a lot of folks face what you're facing and I face. The same God is enough, strong enough, big enough, sufficient enough to get us through. It is not a sin to be tempted. Hebrews 4:15, Jesus was tempted at all points as we are, yet without sin. It doesn't mean you sin when you're tempted. It's only when you yield to sin. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin, the songwriter wrote. It is not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to take a bite of that forbidden fruit and take a step in that wrong direction and do whatever it is the devil's enticing you to do. Sin is not, it's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted but without sin. And I like this. God will deliver us from temptation snares. God will, with the temptation, make a way of escape, a way of freedom, a way of avoiding the temptation. Just for a moment, what I want to say to you is very personal, very practical. The devil knows where you live. He's got your address. He's got your cell phone number. He's got all your numbers.
Yeah.
He knows how to get hold of you on the short notice. And he's never going to leave you alone. So you need to stay close to Jesus. Stay in the Word. Stay on your knees in prayer. Keep your heart clean. Keep your heart guarded. We're going to talk about how to stand against the devil here in just a moment. How to overcome temptation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Listen very carefully. Neither give place to the devil. The devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists he steadfast in the faith. And then James gives us some ways to heed God's warning, some practical and life application ways. The imperative of James 16 implies we are to stop being deceived by the evil one. Stop listening to the lies of the devil. Be alert, be sober. The devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Heed God's warning. God says, guard your heart. Stop being deceived. The devil's a liar and the father of lies. He might whisper in your ear and say, this won't bother you. It's not that serious. The Bible says we ought to avoid all sin at all costs. Heed God's warning. Be alert, be sober, or clearly thinking. walk with God, Galatians 5:16. By the way, the closer you get to the Lord, the less Satan's snares appeal to you to us. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. A long, long time ago, I was walking down a road in the fall with my dad. Maybe we'll forget that. And saw a tree bearing orange fruit. And said to my dad, I said, Dad, of course I knew it wasn't oranges. It wasn't time of year for oranges. You don't grow oranges in North Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grow them in Florida.
Yeah.
And he said, well, son, you ought to check one out and see what it is. See how you like it. It was a persimmon tree. How many of you have ever eaten a green persimmon? Would you raise your hand? How many of you remember eating a green persimmon? I won't ask you. And by the way, I don't remember. I took a bite of that thing. It didn't take me just a second to realize I made a wrong decision. And I'm glad my daddy had enticed me, because what I don't remember exactly what I said, but I don't think I've said it again. The devil will clothe his enticements in wonderful colors. They're bitter like bitter fruit. Be alert, be sober, walk with God. The closer you get to God, the harder it is to yield and to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Begin your day with the Lord. Begin your day in God's will. Begin your day walking with the Lord in the Spirit of God. And the things of this world won't seem nearly as appealing to you, nearly as alluring to you. Avoid, but I like this, especially Genesis 3:12. Avoid temptation, or excuse me, resilience. Avoid excuses. I think Adam was the first one when he was confronted with the sin of his wife eating that fruit, and he ate it. Remember what he said?
Yeah.
That woman you gave in. Woman you gave in. She did. She's to blame. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. I think this is my favorite one. Number next. What do you do when you're approaching temptation? Run or retreat. Run, run, run. Flee fornication, the Bible says. Flee idolatry. Flee youthful lust. Flee youthful lust. Run like there's no tomorrow. What was the movie about the guy who had the braces on, Forrest Gump?
Yeah, Forrest Gump.
And what was the name of the girl, his girlfriend?
Jenny.
What was it again?
Jenny.
Jenny. That's right. And Jenny would say to him, run, Forrest, run. And your pastor this morning is saying to you, deacon, saying to you, Sunday school teacher, longtime member and faithful godly servant of the Lord, run, 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 run. Don't tarry around. Don't mess with the devil. Run as far as you can from the lust of life, idolatry, fornication, and youthful lust. Run, retreat, run. Then remove temptation's opportunities. Proverbs 4, verses 14 through 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it. Turn from it along the way, and pass away. Romans 13, verse 14, make no provision for the flesh. Don't give sin an opportunity to take a foothold in your life. Guard your heart. Get away from the devil and the resurrecting temptation, away from that which is appealing to you at all costs. Replace bad influences with good ones. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. Be careful who you run with. Be careful, because they'll influence your life. Godly people will influence you in a godly way. Ungodly people influence you in a contrary way. And claim God's promises. What do you do when you sin and you're sorry? Confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Or like Isaiah said, behold, come from your sins. Your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They shall be red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool. Thank God. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Just look in your heart. You ever yielded to temptation and been sorry, had regrets? We all have to thank God for the blood of Jesus and WT. He said it well this morning. The blood of Jesus covers for all, washes away, cleanses us from all sin. Thank God for victory in the valley of temptation. What do you do when you face a temptation? Don't be surprised. Expect it. The devil's got you on his to-do list. He wants to approach you when you're least expecting it, when you're least aware of it. Don't be surprised by temptation. Don't be confused by temptation. Don't ask the question, why is the Lord doing this? The Lord's not doing it. The devil is. The Lord's allowing us to, so your faith may be strengthened and your walk may be straight. Don't be defeated by temptation. Guard against it. Guard your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against thee. The closer you get to Jesus, the less appealing the devil's allurements seem to appeal to us. If somebody would say, Brother Jackie, as you look back through your life, have there ever been times that you wish you'd taken another direction and made another decision, made another choice? And the answer is absolutely. Some of life's greatest lessons we learn and the mistakes that we made. Thank God for a God who's patient and who loves us and wants to give us victory in the valley of despair, in the valley of temptation, in the valley of discouragement. So keep your eyes on the Lord. Stay close to Jesus. If you never trusted him, the Bible says today is the day and now is the accepted time. You can be saved today. The other day, our son in Texas called us, and his oldest grandson, who just turned 11, I think, nine, went for the first day of vacation Bible school. He gave his heart and life to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And, praise the Lord. And he's telling his granddaddy that our son is Jamie about it, telling his mom and dad about it. And he just, it's amazing how God can even touch the heart of a child and transform the heart of a child. And the more you get in love with the one who's beyond all measure, the one that love is never ceasing, easier it'll be for you to walk in victory. And I pray at the end of the way we'll have the opportunity maybe to see the blessings and the good choices we've made in life. The first good choice, the greatest decision we need to make, is to be sure that we trust in Jesus as our Savior. If a little child understands that's important, we need to understand that. Is anybody here who's never given your heart and life to Jesus? As far as I would guess, all of us here are saved, but I don't know your heart. I don't know what's going on in your life. I do know this, though. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. And he's faithful to forgive us when you trust him. And transform your life if you've never trusted him. And if you've been saved and yet you've forgotten some of these great truths, and somehow have gotten off and followed a wrong road, made some wrong choices, it's a good day to come home, a good day to start over. It's a good day to trust the Lord for cleansing and renewal and restoration. Thank God for victory in the valley of temptation. Join us as we pray together. Would you pray with me, please?